For those of you that don't know me, my name is Philip, and I am part of the team here. And we've been doing a series. We started off last week with Chloe called Running High. And basically, we're taking the idea of running as a metaphor for life. Now, a whole bunch of us are doing Love Running, which is running the 10K on May the 7th, raising money for charity, for Syrian refugee children, and for local Bristol need. And while we do that, it helps us think about life, and it helps us actually take the lessons that we can get from running and apply them to life. So last week, we looked at how running makes it, it's so much easier when you do it with other people. And life, when we do life with other people, when we do it with community, it makes all the difference. This week, I want to talk about training. Training for life and how that can incredibly impact your experience of life. But first of all, let me ask you a question. Put your hand up here if you want to be mediocre. Okay, who here wants to live a dull, unfulfilling, forgettable life? Who here wants to have a kind of so-so experience, maybe be a disappointment to your parents, a disappointment to your children, and just get by, live a half life, and don't really measure up to all that you could be? Who here would be happy not to fulfill their potential? Now, the fact of the matter is that apart from some comedy hands going up, none of you want that. None of you want to live a life like that. None of you want to have your lives not amount to much. And I know this about you, and you know this about you too. All of us, within us, there's a hunger, a desire to make something of this life. We know that we've got one life. We know that it is short, relatively short. We know that there's plenty of opportunities for it to go wrong, or for us to lose our way, or for things to not work out. There's so many things that can happen, but what we have in our own ability to change things, to influence things, we want to make the most of our lives. We want to have a good life. We want to live up to the potential. We know that there's stuff within us. Some of you, you're here this evening. Some of you, you're watching online because you are looking for something. You know that there's a spiritual part of life, and you know that there's a desire that you've got for fulfillment, for meaning, to do something that is of significance. You want to make your mark on the world. You want to make your mark, even if it's just on a few people. You want your life to mean something, to change something, to help people, to affect people, to be a force for good. And you know that, and I know that about you. But I know something about you that you don't know about yourself. I know something about you that actually, let me put it another way, most of you don't know about yourself. One or two of you will know this, but the vast majority of people here today, you don't know this about yourself, and that is this. You have barely scratched the surface of your potential. You're capable of doing so much more than you give yourself credit for. You have within you a desire to do something with your life. You have a desire to make something of your life, but you have no idea just how far that could take you, just how much that you're capable of. There's great things within you. There's more within you than you realize. And I'm not trying to big you up. I'm not trying to just ingratiate myself with you. I'm telling you the truth. And like I said, some of you, you don't know this. Maybe you don't even believe it when I say it, but it is the truth. There's more in you than people have seen. There's more in you than you have seen. There's more about you. There's more that you can do than you actually realize. The question is, how do we get this potential out of ourselves? How do we reach that level of fulfillment? How do we tap into the unlocked energy, potential, power, potency that is in each single person here in this room? And the fact of the matter is that there are whole industries devoted to trying to key into this. You know, the self-help industry will tell you, well, if you just do this thing, or if you try this quick fix, or you go to this shortcut, then your life will have the fulfillment and the meaning that you want it to have. And people will sell courses. There's the latest fad. There's the latest book. There's the latest motivational speaker. And they will just say, look, follow these five simple principles, or do this new key, or we've come up with this new idea. And they will try to sell you something which is just a quick fix formula. It's just a silver bullet. It's something that promises much but actually delivers little. And actually, advertisers, they will sell stuff to you based on your desire to be all that you can be in life. And they'll say, listen, if you buy these items or you shop in this place, if you have these material things, then you'll be happy, then you'll attract the right people, then you'll have a great relationship. Advertisers, it's all about lifestyle. They push towards us the picture of what we want for ourselves, what we want to be, and they say, look, just get this thing. Just go over here. Just achieve this and it will all be yours. But it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. And sometimes even in churches, people will give you a kind of easy believism. They'll say, well, if you just pray this prayer, or if you listen to this preacher, or you follow along with this podcast or blog or whatever it may be, then these are the simple answers to make you happy. Listen, those things, they don't work. They're old wives' tales. They're myths. There's no substance in them, but they're keying into the fact that you want to be all that you could be. They key into the fact that you have an inbuilt desire. Everyone is born with this, to do something of substance and significance with your life. You know innately that you're special. You know that you've got something to contribute. And it may be that the world has dragged you down and knocked you back, but still, you have that within you that says, I know there's more. I know there could be more. And I'm here to tell you that you have incredible potential. Actually, your potential for spirituality is bigger than you realize. And it may be a spiritual hunger and thirst that's brought you to this place or caused you to watch this. And here's the thing. There is a way in which you can fulfill your potential. A couple thousand years ago, one of the early Christian writers, his name was Paul. He had a young mentor, a young man called Timothy. Timothy was based in the city of Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey, and he was starting to lead a church in Ephesus. But Paul was the guy that mentored him. He was the kind of the father figure, the coach. And Paul would write him letters. And the first letter that he wrote, he's saying, look, this is how you be who you're supposed to be. This is how you can fulfill your potential. And he said this. He says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. In other words, even in those days, even in the first century, people were still saying, if you do this, then you'll be happy. If you follow this way, then you'll have release and fulfillment and meaning. If you follow this particular teaching, then all will be well. And Paul says there's a lot of junk out there, and it's preying on the fact that you know that there's greatness in you and you want to get it out. But it's myth. It's just tittle-tattle. It's junk. It's old wives' tales. He says, don't have anything to do with that kind of thing. Anything that looks like a simple, easy, just do this and all will be well. Have nothing to do with that. But he says, rather, train yourself to be godly. Everyone say, train yourself to be godly. That word godly, it basically means to be like God. Now, if that's a difficult concept to swallow, then think of it this way. It means to be like Jesus. Because Jesus is the perfect representation of God. Jesus is the perfect human being. Jesus is God living in a human body. And whether you're a Christian or whether you have no faith or you're kind of curious, you're on the outside looking in, we all acknowledge, everyone acknowledges that Jesus is an amazing person. Maybe, in my opinion, definitely the greatest human being that ever lived. I mean, he literally split human history into two. Everything that happened before him and everything that has happened since him. Jesus is this incredible human being that changed the world, that changed the way we think about ourselves, about other people, what we do with our enemies, how we treat our neighbors, all of these things. And Paul says, you can actually train yourself to be godly, to have this amazing character, to be someone that's full of confidence and courage and grace and compassion, someone that is big-hearted, fun to be around, fully alive. That's what godly means. It means that they know how to connect with God. They know how to connect with other people. They're secure in themselves. They have a deep-rooted sense of peace and centeredness and joy. They know where they're going. They live well. They don't react when you push them down. They don't lash out when you take advantage of them. They're godly. And Paul says to Timothy, you've got this potential within you. You can train yourself to be godly. He goes on, he says, for physical training is of some value. Everyone say some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise of both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. But I want to come back to this thing that he says. He says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. This is an amazing thing. If you just think about this, the idea that you can actually get somewhere by training. When we think of training, we think about physical training. And Paul, when he writes this letter, he says, you know, physical training is fine. He's not putting that down. He's saying it's got value. It's got some value, but it's a limited value. But there's a different kind of training. It's a training for life. It's a training for the soul. It's a training for your character, your spirit, your eternal self. And it can bring all these amazing things out of you. See, that's what training does. Training releases a person's potential. Training helps you be everything that you could be. Training reveals things about you that you didn't even know about yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of Usain Bolt. Put your hands up if you're a Usain Bolt fan. That's good, because he is cool. And he's a legend. He is literally an Olympic world legend. There's never been anyone like Usain Bolt, and there will never be anyone like Usain Bolt. And when you think about Usain Bolt, you tend to think about, well, he's this amazing athlete, he's an incredible sprinter, there's no one like him. Actually, the reason that Usain Bolt does what he does, achieves what he has achieved, is because he trains. You take a look at these pictures. This is Usain Bolt in the gym. This is Usain Bolt pumping iron, doing chin-ups. There he is, running with a weight on a sports field. And it's all the things that we don't see. We see him doing the kind of thing at the Olympics. We see him swaggering around. But you need to understand that Usain Bolt should never have become Usain Bolt. It totally defies expectation. He shouldn't be able to do the things that he does. He shouldn't be a world-class sprinter, never mind a record breaker, never mind a legend in human history. Do you know why? He's too tall. He's 6'5". He is too tall. Moreover, he has weak core muscles. This is well-documented stuff. Compared with most sprinters, Usain Bolt has a naturally weaker core. It's the core that maintains your body and allows you to run. That's kind of where the energy, the powerhouse comes from. Plus, he has an over-propensity for Jamaican jerk chicken, peas, and rice. And he has got a well-documented love of fast food and junk food. So he's tall and he's muscular, but he really shouldn't be doing what he does. The reason he's accomplished what he's accomplished is despite his chicken and pea addiction. It's despite his weak core muscles. And it is in spite of his massively over-elongated frame. The reason he gets what he gets is because he trains, because he works. You can Google it. You can go online and you can look at the Usain Bolt training plan, the training regime that he goes through and that he's gone through for week after week, month after month, year after year. It is insane. It is unbelievable. It is incredible. But what it does is it brings something out of him. He knows that if you train, you can do amazing things. I watch the Formula One. That's kind of my sport, my favorite sport. First race, Melbourne next week. So excited. But one of the old racers, Mark Webber, an Australian, they do these kind of things on the television. Mark Webber goes and he spends some time with Usain Bolt. They make a film together. And while he's doing this, he asks Usain Bolt, he says, why is it that when you do these runs, just before the run, you're swaggering around, you look so relaxed, you look so at home. Why is it? And Usain Bolt says this, I know that if I've done the work, I'm going to win. In other words, you see Usain Bolt on the running track. You see him at the big occasion, but you do not see him when he is behind closed doors pumping iron in the gym or when he's on the school football pitch running with weights attached to him. You don't see that, but that is the work. And he says, if you do the work, then you are going to win. And so that's why we talk about training being the whole thing that makes the difference. Training is what draws out of you your potential. I want you to know that you have amazing potential. You have incredible potential. You have potential to do things that you don't think that you can do. But it's released through training. Training means that we tap into what's inside of us already. And we see that bit by bit, week by week, moment by moment, drawn out of us. And so we begin to get better, better, better. We get better, we get faster, we get stronger. We become everything that we are able to be. Now, I did this video, which some of you have seen. We've released these little five-minute short films, which were filmed by Caleb, who was on guitar. Let's give Caleb a massive round of applause. Because Caleb works for the BBC, he's normally used to filming proper professionals, but he's filmed us and he's done an amazing job. But in this one, we talked about basically the three things. I hate that picture. It's so goofy. I look like I'm about to burp. Anyway, three things we talked about: discomfort, discipline, and desire. And I feel discomfort over that picture, so let's flip it off and let's look at it. Discomfort is the first thing. Discomfort is part of training. It means this. The way that training works is you put yourself in a situation which is beyond you. So you do something which is hard for you, and what happens is your body begins to react. It begins to fight back. This is essentially what happens with training. In training, you do something which you don't enjoy, which causes you physical discomfort, which is painful, and which is beyond what you'd rather do. You're out of your comfort zone. Now, when you train, actually, the training that you do doesn't make you better. The training that you do makes you worse. Put your hands up here. Who's doing love running and who's training right now? Okay. You can identify with this. When you've gone on a training run, do you feel better or worse? Worse. Okay. You feel exhausted. You feel wiped out. Because what happens is when you train, you're pushing yourself. You're putting your body into discomfort. And what happens is that your body suffers from it. Your muscles start to break down. And if you overtrain, if you just keep going, keep going, keep going, you will get injured. You will get hurt. But what happens with training is when you stop and when you rest, your body has been put through the mill, it has been sent through the ringer, and when you rest, your body says, okay, better catch up. And maybe it's a day later, maybe it's a couple of days, but your muscles start to rebuild, and they rebuild, and they know that they have to be stronger because all of a sudden, they've come up with an obstacle, a stress on them, a pressure, which is too big for them. And so your body thinks, I've got to do better. I've got to become stronger. I've got to somehow do something to fight this onslaught that's coming against me. And it's actually, sports psychologists will tell you, it's when you rest that all the good stuff happens to your body because you've been through real discomfort. When I first did the half marathon, the first race that I ran, the first proper race, the first any race I ran, was the Bristol Half Marathon. Because someone said to me, they said, Philip, you should run a marathon. I'm like, what? No way. I'm not running a marathon. That's crazy talk. But he kind of got into my brain and he said you could raise some money. And my mum was doing this charity which she'd founded, and it was helping the rural poor in Africa and releasing women and business empowerment and free healthcare and education, all these things. And I wanted to help my mum because she's amazing. And so I said, okay, I'll do the half marathon. And this is what I did. I trained for it. I started out little and then got better. And then got better. I began to build up my resistance, build up my ability to go for distance. And do you know what happened when it came to that first half marathon that I ran? It was one of the worst experiences of my life. I had such a difficult time. I hated every single minute of it. And I felt like dying. I felt like dying before it. I felt like dying during it. And I felt like dying after it. I said to myself, never again. And I did it again because I thought, you know, I've got to do this. I've got to do better. And so I trained for the half marathon. I gave it my everything. And do you know what happened the second time? it was, again, the most awful experience I've ever been through. I just thought, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. This is crazy. I hate this. I'm not a runner. I don't have the ability for it. I'm better over short distances. I am just not built for this kind of whack your body round miles and miles business. It's crazy. And then I got a phone call randomly, and it was from Oxfam. And they said, would you run the London Marathon for us? And I said, yeah, sure. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? What am I saying? This is crazy. But I went for it. I trained for it. I went as hard as I could. It's really, really difficult to train for a marathon because you've basically got to go out for runs that last for, you know, 3 or 4 days. It's just ridiculous. But I got to the London Marathon, and again, one of the worst experiences of my life. I mean, it was worse than the half marathons. It was so painful. I literally thought that I was doing myself permanent damage. It was just egregiously awful. But 2 weeks before the London Marathon, I ran the Bath half marathon. I ran the Bath half marathon because now a half marathon, when you're training for a half marathon is a training run. It's only 13 miles, come on. And so, you know, you've got to run 26 miles. I didn't run 26 miles. I ran 16 and then walked for the rest and then had a stop in a pub, and it was awful. But for the Bath half marathon, I ran it, and anyone done the Bath half marathon? Andy, yeah, you guys have done it. Okay, so it's a track that you go around twice. You basically do one course and then you repeat the whole thing. And I did the first one, 6 miles, no problem. I did the second one, 6 miles, no problem. 30 miles, all done. And I finished it and I looked at my time and it was, ladies and gentlemen, I want to clap after this, okay? It was 15 minutes faster than anything I'd ever done before. 15 minutes! I mean, that is astonishing. Some of you elite runners, if you could take 15 minutes off your time, it would be amazing. I mean, Roger Bannister, a mile in 4 minutes. If he took 15 minutes off that, it would be incredible, right? So you get my point. And I suddenly came away and I thought, man, that half marathon was one of the easiest things I've ever done. Why? Because I was pushing myself past the point of discomfort, and the training effect kicks in. And after a while, what used to be difficult becomes easy. And if you had said to me, Philip, you will find it easy to run a half marathon, I would have told you that you're crazy, that you're just tripping, that you don't know me, you don't know that I'm no good at this, I'm better over short distances. But what happens is I train for something, and suddenly, without realizing it, without thinking it, my body is getting stronger, my muscles are getting better, my ability to breathe is getting deeper, my body's ability to produce and take energy from oxygen, it gets bigger. In fact, your blood vessels, they can actually expand as you train, and they can take, it's amazing what the body can do. Your heart gets stronger, your joints get stronger, your cardiovascular system, it gets better, more effective, more efficient. And what happens is you're pushing yourself, you're hurting yourself, it's difficult, but the body begins to adapt. It's the training effect. So it starts off with discomfort, and then it just is a matter of keeping up the discipline. The discipline says, I'm not expecting to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in one smooth step. I'm going to do a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. So now I'm doing 5 minutes at a time. Now I'm doing 7 minutes at a time. Now I'm doing 8 minutes at a time. Suddenly I find that I'm able to go. But what happens is I do it all the time. I discipline myself. I'm consistent. This is how training works. You have to take the decision to do it over and over and over again, which is why I got up early this morning and I went on my run for Love Running, because I am determined to break my personal best. I have been determined to break my personal best for the last 9 years. I still haven't done it, but this year I am going to do it. I absolutely am. But I know if I do the work, I'm going to win. If I do the work, I'm going to win. And this is what comes down to the final one. It's desire. Desire says, I've got a vision, I've got a goal, I've got a dream, I've got something that I'm aiming for. And that's how training works. You motivate yourself because you have something that you want to do. Now, whatever it may be, I want to go faster, or I want to achieve that thing that I've never achieved before, or I want to get into shape, or I want to be toned up, or whatever it is, I want to earn the love of a good woman. You have a desire, you have a vision, a goal, and it's that that makes you train. And Paul says all of that stuff that works for physical training, the same thing works for spiritual training. Spiritual training, godliness, your ability to know God better can increase. Now, some of you say to me, oh, I'm not very good at prayer, or I find it difficult reading the Bible. Some of you will say to me, I never really hear God's voice very much. Or some of you will say, when I pray, I don't really have much faith. Or you'll say, well, you know, I see other people and they're really holy and they're really godly. It's never quite like that for me. I'm telling you this. You can train yourself to be godly. You can train yourself to know God better, to have a greater capacity to be close to Jesus, to feel him, to reflect him, to be like him. But it won't come through an easy, quick fix solution. There's no shortcut to this. Paul says, you train yourself. You train yourself. I'm going to give you some training. First of all, there's reactive training. That's basically when stuff happens to you in life and you train yourself to react to it really well. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to take that next week. We're going to talk about how to recover from hurt. What do you do when people let you down, when you get really heartbroken? How do you recover from that in a way that makes you better as a person? But as well as reactive, there's also proactive. That's when you actually can do something about this. You can make a intentional decision for yourself to take on spiritual disciplines, spiritual training. So I'm going to give you some stuff. And really, for the next 5 minutes, this is my goal. This is my vision. This is my job. My job is to make every single person in this room here tonight have a vision for spiritual training. My goal, my role, is to make you all people that will take on spiritual training. I will not succeed in this goal. I will not meet this vision. Because no matter how much I say to you, some of you are still going to say, yeah, I'm not very good at prayer. Or I'm not one of those spiritual people. You're going to say, well, I just never hear from God. I never have visions and I never have pictures from the Holy Spirit and I don't flow with God's stuff like that. Some of you, no matter how much I try to tell you that God has put potential in you, you're just going to, for whatever reason, maybe it's my fault, maybe you just don't believe me, you're a little bit suspicious. Maybe you're just not in that place. For whatever reason, some of you, you're just not going to go for this. And there's nothing I can do about that. And others of you, with all the best will in the world, you're going to go for this, and then 2 days' time, when you're meant to do it and you had the right intention, you're going to forget about this. And you're going to forget what I've said, and it's all just going to be lost in the ether. And you'll go on to the next thing, and you'll forget it. So I'm going to fail with you as well. But there are some people, and you're here right now, or you're watching, and actually this is going to land. And you might not get it first time, and it may take a few goes. In fact, it's going to take lots of false starts, because training is for life. But you're going to get this. And so I want to give you a spiritual training plan. And for those of you that maybe think, I can't do this, or you're not sure, listen to this or come back to this at a later date. But here I'm going to give you something very, very simple that you can build on. You can start from this place. So first of all, what I want to do is I want you to take every day 5 minutes of silence. Now, for me, the best time to do this is the first thing in my day, when I've given up the time before everything else crowds in, before I get too tired. It requires discipline. It requires a bit of discomfort. But if you can find a place and just be quiet, 5 minutes of silence and contemplation, okay? You do this, and when you're silent, you're thinking about God. You're thinking about your day. You're thinking about the world. There's one little pro tip that you can use if you like. It's called the centering prayer. Everyone heard of the centering prayer? It's basically like a Jesuit thing, but basically what you do is you just think and say the name of Jesus. In fact, if you say the name Jesus and you continue to just say Jesus, 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 just under your breath, the name Jesus. You may be sitting down, you may be kneeling down, you may be going for a walk, maybe not looking so crazy. But just centering yourself on the person of Jesus, you begin to find that there's a centeredness and a calm, a still, a peace that comes on you. Now, some of you, 5 minutes, you think it's not very long, but actually it's a really long time when you're being quiet and being silent. It's going to be difficult. So you might want to just start off with 2 minutes and work up to it. But what you're doing is you're just stilling your mind and you're just allowing all the rest of the world to leak away. And then you're just being you in the presence of your Heavenly Father. Then you want to have 5 minutes of Scripture, 5 minutes reading the Bible. Now, we've talked about this. We started the year with the Spiritual Detox Program, and we went through Bible stuff. So if you missed this or you want a refresher, then go back onto the Woodlands Metro website, which is woodlandsmetro.church, easy to remember, and look under talks, and you'll see it right there, how to read the Bible. And it's literally a one-page little set of notes that you can download, and it gives you a bunch of links. One of the things it links to is this Bible app, which I use. I use it pretty much most days, but bible.com/app, or just go to bible.com, and you can download the Bible onto your phone. You find a decent translation. They're all free. But what happens is this. It will give you some training plans, literally some reading plans, and every day you get to tick off. Now, I've had a heck of a week, and I'm a little bit behind, but I will catch up, because it only takes 5 minutes a day. Better for me is you can actually put it on your headphones, and so when you're walking to your course or to your bus or whatever it may be, you can have it going off. Everyone else thinks that you're listening to Britney Spears, but what you're really doing is you're getting Bible into you, and it makes all the difference. Now, you might find it difficult to begin with. That is what training is like. But you find, actually, the more you do it, the more it starts to have an impact on you. In fact, if you do this for 1 week, I guarantee you'll find a difference. If you keep at it, definitely 2 weeks, you won't want to ever stop. And when you do stop, you want to pick it back up again. So you've got silence, Scripture, and then 5 minutes of prayer. And again, if you want some help on this, go to the website, look at the talks. This was done about 2 months ago. It just says how to pray. So praying through different aspects of the things that we need to pray about. First of all, God as Father. Secondly, God's kingdom. So we pray for God's kingdom to come where we work, with people that we love. And then you pray about the needs that you have, the things that you ask God to help you with. It's basically the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, Your kingdom come, give us this day. And then you pray about your wholeness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Keep us from temptation. I want to be whole. But the Bible says that the way that you get there isn't just by God magicking it onto you, or you go forward to a prayer at church one day and someone puts their hands on you and say, right, you're now totally whole. No, the way it comes is through training. And here's the thing. When Paul talks about training, he says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, for this life and the life to come. One day you will live again. This life isn't the end of the story, because God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never lets go. It goes on and on. It is for all of eternity. And when you love God and when you're wrapped up in His love, then He will bring you life. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. I've come so that whoever believes in me might have eternal life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you will yet live. And the Bible says that there is a life to come. I'm going to live forever. One day I will sunbathe in a supernova. I will swim in dark matter. I will straddle galaxies and universes. I will have a kind of existence in perfect, pure harmony with God, which words cannot even express. It's coming because God loves us. And as we accept his love and live in his love, that love will power our lives for all of eternity. And Paul says this, if you could just imagine, if you could just grasp that you will have an eternity which is shaped in some part, in some mystical way, by the choices that you make in this life and the godliness that you're training for, it will have an impact on the life to come. If that doesn't move your desire, I don't know what will. But Paul says, this is why we train. We train because it's good for this life. It can make me close to God. It can make me the person I was supposed to be. It can take away all the junk and all the harshness, the difficulty, the rough edges. I can become like Jesus. I can live a great life. I can have the relationships that I want to have. I can see the kind of family that I dream of having. I can be close to Jesus and I can hear his voice and I can be filled with his spirit. But in the life to come, I reap a reward for all eternity. So here's our big idea. You have a greater capacity to know God and be like him than you realize. And the way to unlock this is through the discomfort, discipline, and desire of spiritual training. So before the band come up, I just want to ask you this question. Are you up for this? Are you up for this? You may say to me, oh, I don't really know much about Christianity. It's all very new to me. That's fine. Try the spiritual training plan. And as you pray, you just say, Jesus, please help me. This is all very new to me. And see what happens. If you don't believe me, have a test. Take a test drive. Try this out for 7 days, 10 days, 2 weeks. See if you feel any different afterwards. Because I tell you that godliness is an amazing thing, but it is gained as you give yourself to training. You train yourself for this, and you begin to feel God making you bigger, faster, stronger, more whole, more godly, more free. Let's pray. Why don't you just bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's just take a moment of silence and contemplation. I want you to think about your life, and I want you to think about the life to come. Dear God, I thank you for the practical wisdom that we read in Scripture. I thank you for what Paul says to Timothy, and I thank you that the same thing applies to us today. Lord, I thank you that this is indeed a trustworthy saying, and it's worth striving for, it's worth working at, it's worth reaching for. And I pray, dear God, I pray particularly for those of us that have tried to give ourselves to spiritual disciplines and training in the past and we've lost motivation or we've got tripped up. I pray, dear God, that there be something fresh and new for us. I pray that you'd help us and that you'd fill us. I'm just going to ask you while I pray just to do one simple thing, and that's this. I'd like you to just lift your hands to the ceiling. And as you do this, I want you to just ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, to draw out of you godliness, to give you a gift, to unlock the potential that's within you. Spirit of the living God, we give you control. We thank you for your touch. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that you'd release to us a brand new experience of you, and that we would find you in the quiet place, in the secret place, in the still place, drawing us out, moving us forward. In the name of Jesus, amen.